This is the story of a first-generation owners. That's Pete and John Spanos, brothers, who started Veta Sports 31 years ago. The two are connected in many ways and have a very strong foundation within the family. We're going to hear their story today along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program, The Business of Family Business. So, Pete, can you explain what you do at Veta Sports?
Wow. These days, I think I create the chaos.
Yeah.
You know how you have the CEO?
Uh-huh.
I'm probably the CCC, which is Chief Chaos Creator. I tend to stir up whatever's new, mm-hmm. or if we feel like we need to move in another direction, kind of stir that up, and then everybody else comes in and tells me to get out of the way so they can go ahead and fix it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about everything that you guys do, because you have multiple locations, and you guys offer a lot of different sports. So at Veta Sports, let's go through some of the locations that you have right now and what is offered at each location. So, John, do you want to do that?
Sure. The Soccer Dome was the first location that we got involved in, and that's the one in Webster.
Mm-hmm.
And South County Concord was second, and that's where our home office is, where we kind of work out of primarily. Manchester is right there in kind of the 141 in Manchester location. And then we have two out in the St. Charles, St. Peter's area. We have one soccer complex and one tennis complex.
Right. You probably see a lot of demand right now. I mean, St. Louis is a big sports area. There's probably a lot of people that schedule, and there's leagues. And I was looking on your website, adult leagues, kids leagues. I mean, there's a wide variety of people that use your facilities.
There are. I probably refer to it as stable. We didn't see some of the crazy dips a few years ago when the economy changed. And then there's just so much activity right now that we just see sort of a stable growth pattern, which is nice. But we do feel like we have to work hard and pay attention because there's just so many different participants in the soccer world that we just need to stay on our toes as well.
Yeah. So, Pete, what's the origin story for Veta Sports? And who founded it? And really, when did it start?
It was right around 1988. I had been running my father's dental laboratory. Our father is a Greek immigrant who started a dental laboratory making crowns and bridges, false teeth. Hmm. And I ran that for 5 years. Now, if you think about it, that was a very technical business, required repetition, routine, and they were all of his people because they had been with him for years. So after I ran that for 5 years, I broke down on my waterbed and said, this just isn't working.
Hmm.
So after I cracked at that point, it was like, okay, what do I really care about? And what I cared about personally was kind of teaching kids life skills. And having played soccer and hanging out at the Soccer Dome in Webster Groves, took out a loan and took over the Soccer Dome and then started working on instructional programs, really to teach kids life skills, not to make great mm-hmm. soccer players, but to teach them the experiences of what you can get from life out of teaching sports.
Wow. So you played Division I soccer in college.
Right.
And then afterwards, you came back and you're working for your dad's business, and you were helping in his dental lab, but you decided to veer off. You never really thought, well, maybe I'll just follow in my dad's footsteps. Maybe I'll look into dentistry or see what I can do in that avenue.
It's a good question. My dad never put pressure on me whatsoever. What he did say was, if you can come here and get some business experience, and if it doesn't work, that's okay, or don't come in at all, because I was actually working for Xerox in Cincinnati, having a good time. But that experience helped me understand what I don't want to do the rest of my life.
Hmm.
And that's what was so key, and therefore I was that much more passionate to go and do something that I wanted to do.
Yeah. John, what were you doing at that time?
At that time, I was probably getting ready to start my MBA at Wash U. And I was the kid who grew up, we used to call my basement the Spanos Dome, and we would play indoor soccer in the basement with the two little nets. And then I also played tennis at what was Town and Country, which is now the MAC West. So I was the kid who dreamed of someday managing soccer or tennis, never even in my wildest dreams to own these buildings and the whole, the facilities and everything that we work with now. And for me, it was having the business training combined with the passion for the sports that really the confluence of those two things mm-hmm. that led me to want to participate with Pete and take it to the next level.
Yeah. So, Pete, when did you go from life lessons and instructing kids and putting on maybe some of these camps for them to actually wanting to own a facility and expand that even further?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't so you won these entrepreneurial awards, but whenever I go to universities and speak, I'm like, I was not this entrepreneur. I didn't want to fail a second time. I mean, my skill set was to build things, was to be a people person and to help, and I wanted to teach. So that became not to fail because I felt I had failed at my father's dental laboratory. So it was really just me being, I'm going to say, stubborn or persevering not to have the dome fail. And then after that, when John became involved in the business, then we started to grow it. And that's when the entrepreneurial spirit really started to come together.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I wanted to get your thoughts of both Pete and John, and you hear about their experience, the origin of how Vetta Sports actually got together. What are some of your thoughts on their experience leading into it and then the start of Vetta Sports?
Well, I think for Pete, realizing that running his father's business was not a good fit for him and really deciding to cut bait rather than keep fishing. Anytime you're a square peg in a round hole, it's not a good situation. And that's my catchphrase for how I summarize Pete's experience in his father's dental lab. And so the fact that he cut that off and moved on to something else that was his passion, that did fit his skill set and fit more his life's calling. Kudos to him for doing that. And then to be able to bring John in some years later, where two brothers, where there's often a sibling rivalry, to be able to work together and go at this together, it's a great story.
When we come back, we're going to hear more from Pete and John Spanos, brothers who manage and own Vetta Sports, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program, The Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and two-thirds of family businesses do not make the generational transition. It is something special to have a leadership in the next generation, to have ownership in the next generation, and even the interest in the next generation and want to step up to be owners. Have you developed them to be effective owners? Let me tell you about CMA Consulting, and you should be reaching out to them. Their website is cmaconsult.com. If these are questions you've been wondering for your family business, have you thought about how you're going to be able to apply those insights into the family business and to make sure that they can be ready to take over? If you have a lot of questions, maybe you want to pick up the phone. Give them a call. It's 314-721-1860. Unify, develop, and align your family business. Go to cmaconsult.com. Or again, the phone number is 314-721-1860. We love to hear stories from family businesses, and if you know one or you are one and have a story to tell on this program, reach out to Dan Bean. He's at CMA Consulting. Their website, cmaconsult.com. We continue the story from Pete and John Spanos. They own and manage Vetta Sports, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. You mean when there's sports involved, there's got to be a rivalry at some point, right? Always?
John, you know, you're up on that.
You know, we can't
wait for this one,
can't
myself.
Can't see over the radio, but we're 9 years apart, and Pete's left-handed and I'm right-handed. So there's some nice advantages to that separation and those differences, and I think that's allowed us to really kind of grow together. And like we mentioned, our dad owned a business growing up, so we've always kind of kept the business first and foremost in our minds, and then obviously family and gone from that pyramid.
Left to right hand, you always bump into, if you're sitting next to each other, you got to make sure you know you're on what side.
When we share rooms at hotels, we know who sleeps on which bed, who sleeps on the left bed and the right bed, I promise.
I mean, all the way down to the toothbrushes, I'm going to be on the left, he'll be on the right.
Got to. You got to know these things. What's the story, Vetta Sports, the name? Where does the name come from?
So our grandmother in Greece, her name was Vetta, and during World War II, our father couldn't get up to go to the bomb shelters. So she would actually stay back with him and really comfort him while he slept. And so, you know, that was something that, you know, obviously kept him alive. And so that's what mattered to us. And honestly, when it came to naming the complexes after her, our management team was the ones who said, let's name it after her. It embodies what we're about, which is family, and it also allows us to give it the meaning that we want to give versus using sort of a word that already connotes something else.
Yeah. So, Pete, you go all in. You decide. What was your very first facility? Which location was
Soccer Dome.
Soccer Dome, yeah. What was that like in the early years? Can you kind of tell me about some of the uncertainties you had and, you know, what it was like that first year trying to get things off the ground?
Yeah, and early on, all right, so I'm an adult soccer junkie. I've been playing adult soccer, and we had an adult manager. And what my role was is I always wanted to build instructional programs for the kids. That was what I was working on. The manager, about 2 years in, ended up opening up a competing facility. Beautiful facility, beautiful turf. I counted two-thirds of the business walked out overnight.
Wow.
Because they had the relationships with him. So the question was, now what? And it didn't work very well. I didn't change pricing. He had lower pricing. I just did things that, you know, today I would do differently. But I don't know if it was ego or what, but I just wouldn't change how I was doing things. And it almost went under in year three.
Mm.
I remember telling my wife, I go, I'm going to give this full effort one more year, and either it's going to work or not. And what happened was people started to resonate on the instructional piece that we were doing. And I'll give you a very quick example. Our soccer programs have never been about how great of a soccer player you are. A lady named Patty Kelly, great referee, kid was running down the field in our instructional program, and she missed a call. He got tripped, and he turns around and says, "Hey, ref, that's not fair. I got tripped." At the break, she goes, "Jimmy, come here." Says, "Jimmy, life is not fair. Matter of fact, it's never going to be fair. But if you go after that ball and go get it, good things will happen to you." And that was the philosophy of the program. And while it almost went under that third year, people understood what we were trying to do. And then it started to grow. As a matter of fact, Becky Sauerbrunn, our U.S. Team player, came out of that program.
Wow.
Yeah.
What would you do differently then? Because you were offering the instructional. What would you have gone back and offered differently to try to make it so it wasn't so difficult towards that third year?
I think I just needed to go through it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to give you an answer, but the truth is I needed to learn every little nuance and aspect of that business. And when we talk with Dan about family businesses, what happened to me was I had to learn every nuance of that business.
Mm-hmm.
So 30 years later, when something goes on, I kind of can sniff and smell it.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. Now, that's the type of answer, learning from experience. You know, there's some things you can go back and give yourself some advice, but obviously the journey in getting the experience is something that's very valuable that you can't just give yourself advice on.
So going to school and doing those kind of things is very important because it teaches you about applying yourself and sticking with something and persevering and learning how to problem problems or how to solve problems, excuse me. But most of what we learn in life comes from on-the-job experience. About 70% of our capability comes from on-the-job experience, and that's what Pete is talking about.
Yeah.
I needed to soak it up. I needed to marinate. I need to season. And I just got to do it by being there day after day, week after week, year after year. And I'm soaking up things. I may not realize it, but I'm soaking up a lot of knowledge and know-how.
So what's the mission today of Vetta Sports?
Well, our mission today, and probably people don't know this or recognize it until I state it out loud, but our mission today is really to connect people. We find that when people are on the bench with their friends, they're connecting. When grandparents are bringing their grandkids to our Kickaroos program, they're connecting with their kids and their grandkids. And when adult team goes and has beers after a game, they're spending time together. And our mom says that maybe we replace the corner tavern because that's people like to spend their time there. And we definitely want it to be more than just a game and leave. And it's not transactional. We want it to be about your connective people experience. And that's something really that our full-time team knows and hears about, but we don't really say it out loud too often.
Wow. Is your guys' dad still around?
For his 87th birthday?
Yeah.
Not making this up. He wants global TSA because he wants to go back to Greece, and he's asking us to get global TSA. And my mom, who's 85,
yeah,
when she heard that, she might want it too. So there you go. Yeah, they're active.
Well, if they're active, what are their thoughts and what they've seen? You guys grow the business, and from the very beginning, what was your dad's initial thoughts, knowing he came from a completely different industry? He saw you go off and do your own thing, something that you had a passion for when it comes to sports and soccer. What was his initial thoughts, and what did he say when you started Vetta Sports?
Well, I'd say where we are today, it was he would say beyond his wildest dreams. Mm. He was hoping that we would stay in town. Our two sisters moved out of town. The grandchildren were out of town. And when he saw Pete having some success with this and me getting involved, I think his greatest hope was that a couple of his sons or children and grandchildren would actually end up staying in town and be part of that family, you know, the family story, so to speak.
Wow. And that's great to see. And so far, how many locations do you have right now?
Right now, we have five locations, mm-hmm. The three in the St. Louis County, and then two in then St. Peter's. And then we also run the county complex for the county at the Creve Court Park. So that's another component for us. We're managing that facility as well for the county, yeah. Just those services.
And you've seen different generations. Veta Sports have been around for decades. Do you see that there's still the same amount of interest from you had in the early years to today, or do you see there's more interest in youth sports?
Speaking of, by the way, we've been out of town, mm-hmm. and to John's credit, he was the one that said about 5 years ago, look, we're St. Louisans. All our people are St. Louisans. Mm-hmm. Our infrastructure are St. Louisans. So, you know, he kind of over a beer or cigar says to me, he goes, what are we doing going out of town? Mm-hmm. He made a very good point. So after that, we started to say we are part of the St. Louis fabric. Let's focus really just here. Mm-hmm. So that's part of our narrowing. You asked me a little bit about soccer and culture. Soccer's growing all over the country, mm-hmm. but in St. Louis, one would say it's stable. We would both say it's cultural. Mm. Like, we have a lot of people that are third generations playing at Veta, and that's just natural. So I just see it as I don't say a rites of passage. It's just a cultural. It's culturally in our fabric.
Wow. So you probably have got to know a lot of different families over the years. If you talk about the different generations coming in and playing still at a young age, what's the youngest age player you have there? When do you start? Like, what's the...
Well, we've got a parent and me class within our Kickaroos that starts at age two. And what's funny about that is we used to have the player, the little kid, come out on the field and the parents stay behind the glass and boards. And then we realized that this really is a chance for dad or for mom to bond with their 2.5, 3-year-old. And so now we bring the parents out on the field so that it's really a participatory, kind of going back to that connection mm-hmm. piece that we just talked about, Ryan. And we look at it, and that's just an example where having that core principle makes us look at things a little differently. And now we want the parents and the kids, those young age, to have their bonding time together. It just happens to be through the program on the field.
The Business of Family Business will continue in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. If you would like to listen to some of our previous interviews with family businesses, go to KMOX.com. In the podcast section, just search for The Business of Family Business. Our conversation with Pete and John Spanos from Veta Sports continues next. We tell the story of family businesses all across the St. Louis region on The Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. It's presented by CMA Consulting, and Dan Bean joins us in studio from there. And also John and Pete Spanos from Veta Sports. When there's a World Cup, do you find that there's a peak in interest? Do more people come around and find themselves wanting to learn more about soccer? Or as you mentioned before, is it pretty much like it's so much part of the culture of St. Louis that it's always like... basically always there, and you always see the same amount of interest.
There's always those little mini spikes that happen with a World Cup. I mean, with the Women's World Cup right now that's going on, I mean, there's excitement that's going on. I mean, we saw it with the Blues. I'm sure hockey signups have had a little spike, even though the Blues have been here for 50 years. So we certainly appreciate and want to be ready whenever there's something like that. And the MLS team's next. And we do think that having heroes here in town that play the sport of soccer mm-hmm. is absolutely a positive for St. Louis and a positive for soccer.
Yeah. Well, you guys do other sports too. Racquetball is one of them, from what I understand. That's probably the sport I'm best at. Love racquetball. It's been
play
a long
racquetball.
Time.
Where'd you play racquetball at?
Well, when I was growing up, I worked for a parks and rec department. And during the summer, I was outdoors working in the parks. During the winter, I would go inside, and they had the racquetball courts. So when there was no one around, you just played. learned an interest. I played in college a little bit, just recreationally. You know, you can take one of those goofball classes, and I was so much better than everyone else because I knew how to play. But I loved racquetball, but it's hard to find the facility sometimes. It's not something that's common anymore, you know? So you guys offer racquetball.
We do. Not only that, it might be my favorite sport. Both John and our daughters have played played racquetball. It's a great sport for someone that has done the traditional sports and just wants something else to do, because you can have some success in it pretty quick. You can start beating against the wall, as you know, and, and you still are getting it over. So so St. Louis, we actually, Dan Whitley, right, is the president of the Racquetball USA. So Leck is housed out of St. Louis in racquetball.
Oh, how about that? That's pretty neat. Well, I understand that you have some pretty good stories, and one that you were sharing that revolves around racquetball. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, there's a tremendous story. We talk about people wanting to be around VETA, and we really appreciate that. We had a racquetball instructor who met what was going to be his fiancée, his girlfriend, through racquetball. And so when he was contemplating about getting engaged, he wanted all their racquetball friends to be around for this. He wanted it to happen on the racquetball court. And so what he did is he put the ring inside the blue racquetball. And then whenever him and his then girlfriend were playing racquetball and all their friends are on the overhang watching, he switches the ball out and he has a sliced open racquetball and he opens it up and inside there is the engagement ring. And it's, I mean, social media went viral. Everybody's clapping. He's on one knee. She's crying. And, you know, just a tremendous story, and the fact they wanted it to happen at VETA from the heart, it's tremendous appreciation for that.
Oh, that's great. And people were there to enjoy it too. And are they married now? Did this happen?
They are. Yeah, this almost happened 2 years ago.
Okay.
And it's you can find it on you know, it's out there on social media. Mark Kissel. tremendous.
I think that's great. Well, you guys are considered Generation One because you guys started VETA Sports. Right. Do you have anyone else in the family that currently work with you guys that may be a next generation?
Yeah, you know, this being a family business hour, I was actually thinking about that a little bit. Well, first of all, we gave you a sense of our parents, so we're going to be around for a long time, John and I. Our kids are young still, so that really hasn't come that much in the fold. What I see is that most of our managers' kids work at VETA. All of our kids work at VETA. So we kind of look at this from a generation standpoint or from a family standpoint, and I will not be surprised if we have not just our own kids, but it would not surprise me if we have our manager's kids deciding to make VETA a career.
So that's one of those things that probably most people in St. Louis, while they see referees and concessionaires and instructors on the field, they probably don't know the totality of those numbers. So we're very proud that we get to participate in the economy here in St. Louis from that standpoint.
You've had probably people working for you for a long time, too. I mean, it sounds like when you get to know the different generations and they even bring theirs in, you probably had some longtime employees that are really well embedded into the different communities and the different sports communities where you guys are located.
Yeah. I found out that our main guy, Chris, was serving beer when he probably shouldn't have been serving beer. I found that one out a little too late.
Some time ago.
We do. I went to the bar mitzvah of one of our main managers. And it goes on and on and on. We really don't have turnover on the full-time side.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of that, what we do is fun. I think it helps.
Yeah.
And, Pete, you've been really, you know, intentional about the executive team and making sure that everybody on our executive team has been through the whole process and understands the entire business. I don't know if you wanted to refer to that.
Yeah, outside of creating trouble, I'd like to hear about some of the other roles that you guys do, you know, and when it comes to your executive side. So what exactly are your roles with VETA Sports today?
Talking about the two brothers? Or
for you guys, yes.
For
and,
us.
And then you're also your executive team and some of the people you guys work with.
I'll tell you what, John will handle the business and I'll do the human side from John and I. How's that?
Perfect. Yeah.
On the business side, so Pete, it really looks at our next project and possibly unwinding anything that's not currently working. And then I'll handle more of the compensation plans for our management team and then also the buildings and things of that nature. So what's nice is I would say we don't overlap on about 80% each. But then when we do overlap on that other 20%, we give a lot of respect to each other, let each other weigh in. So that way, if we're looking at something strategic, Pete will bring me in. And then if I'm looking at something in operational, I'll bring Pete in at those right moments. So there's there's still that mutual respect so that you know, we're kind of functioning.
Yeah. And you look at it, too, from a personnel side. You work with a lot of the different personnel, and I'm sure there's a lot that have taken leadership roles over the years, too, that you work with.
Right. So what we noticed was that we had only we had too much, I'm going to say, intellectual capital among within too few of people. And here we had a whole band of managers that are very committed to us, committed long-term, but really hadn't been getting the same level of knowledge and experiences as maybe the three or four, I'll say, on the executive team. So this past year, we made a concerted effort to widen and broaden people's experiences. Even though they've been with us for 10 years, they may not see things beyond their own area. So that's the kind of thing, like when you talk about what's my role, I said, let's do this, and then these guys kind of put that together. Another example is, you know, when you have an active business like we do, as my buddy Denny Boyd said, you always have these spinning plates, and you're juggling all these spinning plates. There's always like one that's about to fall, and you always have to kind of keep an eye on it. Well, we had an O'Fallon location in Illinois that we kept trying to make work. We just couldn't get it to work. So at some point it was, okay, let's let the plate drop. Let's let it fall. Let's write the check to get out of it so we can move on. And, you know, so I ended up taking the role to go ahead and sell the facility, you know, take our bite and let's move on. And that's not, you know, Dan, you know that. It's not easy to do.
Not easy to do. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, family businesses and businesses, they have to make those sort of decisions. I mean, that's something that pretty much every business is, they're going to come up against that at some point.
So there's all kinds of decisions to be made in business every day. And when you have two people that are owners and are very active in the business, there is all kinds of ripe situations for conflict. Well, I should have made that decision, not you, or why didn't you let me participate? And so when I talked to John and Pete, I got the sense that they kind of have three buckets of decisions. John's got his bucket, Pete has his, and then there's a third bucket called our bucket. We have to make those together. And sorting the decision-making out about who owns the decision and who has to live with the consequences, that can prevent a lot of conflict in a family business. And there might be one other bucket called the executive team. We're all going to make the decision together.
When we come back one more time, the story of Veta Sports with John and Pete Spanos in studio, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. It's the business of family business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and I want you to imagine what it's like for a family business owner to make that decision to transition. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not. Sometimes they're ready to step back and allow the transition to happen. Other times, they want to hold on to it. I understand these things. That's why you could use some help, and that's where CMA Consulting could come in. They lead a multidisciplinary team to help family businesses unify the next generation and develop them to be effective owners. You probably have a lot of questions. Who do you talk to when you have a question? Maybe you should give CMA a try. Let them know where you're at and ask them the question, Dan, what can you do for our family business? They'll have an answer. Contact them for a complimentary, no obligation meeting. 314-721-1860. Even if it's just for a cup of coffee or a lunch, give them a call. The website, cmaconsult.com. I'm sure you have lots of questions. Throw it at CMA Consulting. Let them impress you. 314-721-1860. I want to thank Pete and John Spanos for joining us to tell their story. They're owners and managers there at Veta Sports. Also, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting is part of the business of family business here on KMOX. How do you guys actually work out if you do have a conflict when it comes to the decision making? Maybe you guys have different visions. What do you guys do?
We used to bring it up at family and parties, and that did not go over so well.
Uzo, you know.
Pete's trying to talk to his mother-in-law, and I got something on my mind. So, you know, just being organized about it. We've got like a weekly Google Doc that we put these things up in advance. So then before we meet, we can kind of glance and see what's on each other's mind. So no surprises is probably with the top regards to the topics is probably one of the first steps that led us to having a a nice balanced conversation about some of those more difficult items.
Right. Right. The other pieces, and you know, these are things that kind of like you look back and recognize, not so much in front of us. Because we stay involved with the person's, we know 20% of what the other one's doing, maybe even a third, so that it's not so, this is yours, this is mine. Because then it's easy to each one have their own space and you don't feel comfortable crossing over and having discussion about it. So by having 20 to 30% overlap and understanding, then you know what the person's feeling and dealing with.
Yeah.
The second piece of that is by having an executive team, you know, they weigh in too. And that helps us kind of keep, I would say, our compass a little bit more all coordinated because they're weighing in also.
Well, you talked about Google documents and shared documents, things like that. Family gatherings may not be the best time to work these things out. But how do you guys, I mean, do you have like a set meeting time or do you guys talk on the phone? Or what's the best way for you guys to communicate in person?
You know, we have kind of a rhythm now where we meet on Fridays. Mm-hmm. And what we'll do is we will talk business for an hour. And then we will either go chip and putt golf balls or have a cigar and break bread. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really been healthy for our relationship is that we recognize business first and we're going to knock some stuff out. But then we're going to be brothers and best friends afterwards. And I think that sort of transcends also into the way we look at the corporate culture as well. And, you know, quite frankly, the people on our executive team and management team probably subscribe to that philosophy as well.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, you heard how they communicate, and that's kind of like how we communicate on this radio program as well. You can take cues from each other, and that's probably a good thing for business.
Yeah, so one of the things I pick up from John and Pete in terms of how they work and also how they involve the executive team, they make sure everybody in that executive decision-making understands the whole business. And one thing a lot of businesses struggle with is executives run their part of the organization. Sometimes it's called a silo, and what we get is siloed decision-making. It's made from a local perspective, not a global perspective, and sometimes that does not optimize decision-making. So an executive team that understands the whole organization and how the organization connects to the marketplace all around it just results in a lot more effective decision-making.
Yeah. It sounds like you guys had it figured out. I mean, over the years, you've figured out a good routine for you guys.
Yeah, but I should probably be real here for a minute and help, I guess, help explain kind of how that came about.
Mm-hmm.
When you're enmeshed in each other's business decisions and you're used to weighing in on each other's business decision and that's kind of your rhythm and your flow, subconsciously, you know, for me early on, it was easier then to weigh in on his personal life. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really realize it, but John had just bought a house in Kirkwood near a rail line. And part of their deal was that the seller had to put in new windows. So I knew they had just gotten new windows. Mm-hmm. About a month later, John's buying new windows. So I flippantly says, "Why are you buying new windows? You know, you just got new windows." Mm-hmm. And he kind of gave me like a tilted head look. And he goes, "Hey, that's my personal life. That's my personal business." What he was saying, I'll get to in a second, but what had actually happened was, of course, the seller put in the cheapest windows they could, and his wife wasn't sleeping at night because, you know, the rail go through at 4 or whatever in the morning, so he was going out to buy better quality windows so, you know, they had harmony at home and his wife could sleep. Very admirable thing. But I had crossed the line from business to personal, and what that said was, let's be very careful weighing on each other's personal lives. You have your personal life, and then we have our business life. And we shouldn't think that gives us a right to go into the other one's side, so to speak.
So you guys are separated by 9 years. Is that what you mentioned?
Yeah.
Is there any rivalry there, or is the separation enough so there's no rivalry?
I'll speak from my perspective, and we can talk to John. I try to keep away from us going head-to-head on anything. If we're going to start to come that way, I'm going to try to like hourglass it away because I don't see a purpose from that. When we were younger, we had a trophy that was a Miller Lite can that was all busted up, and we played ping pong for it. And I mean, this thing was, I mean, it was like cobbled together trophies. Mm-hmm. I personally, if we start going down that path, and so is he, we're just going to like say, hold on, it's more important that we not go down that path.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes
see that.
That makes some sense.
John, you see that too? Were you guys pretty competitive earlier on in the years?
Oh yeah. I mean, we were brothers growing up, yeah. Right? Yeah, there was some, like Pete said, ping pong, tennis, racquetball tournaments, you know, battle royale till 1 a.m. So we absolutely had that. But like Pete said, we don't want to get that. We don't like to spark that kind of energy. We're looking to win for everybody that's around us. We have a whole different definition of winning, and that is seeing our executive team and all of our team members grow. Whenever somebody on our instruction team has a moment with a kickaroo kid, then Pete and I high five, and we consider that a VETA victory. And that's what we're shooting for now.
John, what's your guys' website?
It's VETA Sports, VETTA Sports.com.
And when you go to the website, you can see the different communities and the areas you impact. And it sounds like, too, you're very involved with those communities and also helping build those communities.
Yeah, as Pete mentioned, we're St. Louis folks. One thing that we're really excited about, we're helping an organization called UP. They're a non-for-profit in the city of St. Louis. And they do after-school programs, and they do summer programs. And VETA does after-school programs and summer camp programs. So we felt that was a great fit for us to use our expertise and make a difference for a non-profit.
Have there been any perks? Because you talk about how the leadership and the full-time employees have been around for a while, and you got this great team of people. What are some stories that you've done to the people that work for you?
Well, we were nearing on almost 30 years. And John and I were sitting, as you know, we go to Greece routinely every couple of years. All of our family was there. And we were sitting over at a bar just talking one night, and we both said, hey, wouldn't that be really cool if we brought the VETA people here? Mm-hmm. And we looked at each other and said, let's do it. Hmm. So we planned it out, and we brought the management team, all the full-time people. It was not, if we do this, it's a bonus plan. And then some said, hey, well, I don't want to go on a trip with you. Can I go to Cancun or something like that? And we're like, no, we want you to experience something very precious to us and see the culture that we have grown up with and it has been so special to us. We want to share that with you. And that's what we did. It was a couple years ago.
Yeah, 2017. Yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. Oh, yeah.
How many people total ended up going?
We ended up with 30 people. So we had... a dozen managers and their significant others, and then about another five or six solos as well. And one of my favorite moments is we were walking through the streets of Athens to go to dinner, and we walked through a square, and there's a bunch of kids with a little soccer game right on the dirt in the middle of the little square. And they got to see how those kids grew up with, you know, the authentic soccer moment, just kicking the ball around. There were boys, girls, all ages, all playing together, and they're walking by, and they're like, wow, I get how this is a global sport, and that was a really precious moment.
Wow.
It'll be one of our personal VETA highlights for all the years. I know they got excited to go someplace, but they've been working with us for a long time. I don't know. For John and I, it was a highlight of our life. It was one of them.
That's awesome. Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I wanted to talk to you about the story of VETA Sports here and get some of your impressions.
So this is the story of two siblings who started a business, and sibling rivalry and competition in family business is well researched and documented, and they've moved beyond that. So they've put their business together very well, and their mission is connectivity, and it starts with their relationship and how they relate to each other. And then everything emanates out from that, from the two of them to their spouses, their families, their employees, people they serve through the sports programs, the St. Louis community, and even to Greece. So the quality of relationships, that is their mission. They seek to bring families together via sports. They've knocked it out of the park and done it really well. Let me just leave it at that. Keep it up, guys.
VETA Sports. Can check it out. Some great areas, some great locations, and some great facilities around the St. Louis region. Pete and John from VETA Sports, thank you so much for sharing.